Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 43, Text Number 30. Although that was read yesterday, that one. But anyway, what to do? Ayam chasya graja sriman. Rama kamala lochana. Kalambo nihato jena. Ratsako ye bakadaya. Ayam chasya graja sriman. Lalochanaha Kalambo nihato jena Patsako ye bakadaya Cha and Asya his Agrajaha elder brother Sriman, the possessor of all opulences. Ramaha, Lord Balaram. Kamala Lochanaha, the lotus eyed. Pralambaha, the demon Pralamba. Nihataha, killed. Jena, by whom? Vatsakaha. Vatsasura. Ye. Who. Baka. Bakasura. Adaya. And others. This lotus-eyed elder brother of his, Lord Balaram, is the proprietor of all transcendental opulences. He has killed Pralamba, Vatsaka, Baka, and other demons. Purport. In fact, two of the demons mentioned here were killed by Krishna, not Balaram. The reason for the mistake is that as news of Krishna's exploits spread among ordinary people, the facts became somewhat muddled. The same tendency can be observed in modern newspapers. I'll just finish off this chapter. Janesvevam bruvaneshu turiyeshu ninadatsu cha Krishna Ramo samabhasya chanuro vakyamabravit. While the people talked in this way and the musical instruments resounded, the wrestler Chanura addressed Krishna and Balaram with the following words. Purport. Chanura could not tolerate that the audience was praising Krishna so highly, therefore he had to say something to the two brothers. He Nanda Shuno He Rama Pavanto Virasamato Niyuda Kushalo Shrutva Ragyahuto Ditrikshuna. Chanura said, O son of Nanda, O Rama, you two are well respected by courageous men and are both skillful at wrestling. Having heard of your prowess, the king has called you here wanting to see for himself. Priyam ragya prakurvachaha shreyo vinyanti vai prajaha manasa karmanavacha viparitam matonyata. Subjects of the king who try to please him with their thoughts, acts and words are sure to achieve good fortune, but those who fail to do so will suffer the opposite fate. Nityam pramudita gopa vatsapalayatasputam vaneshu malajudhena kridantas charyantigaha. It is well known that cowherd boys are always joyful as they tend their calves, and that the boys playfully wrestle with each other while grazing their animals in the various forests. Purport. Here Chanura explains how the two brothers came to be expert at wrestling.
Tasmadravya priyam yuyam vayam cha karavamahe putanina prasidanti sarvabhutamayonipaha.
Therefore, let's do what the king wants. Everyone will be pleased with us, for the king embodies all living beings.
Tanisham ya bravit krishno desakalo chitam vachaha niyudham atmano bishtam manyamano binanjacha.
Hearing this, Lord Krishna, who liked to wrestle and welcomed the challenge, replied with words appropriate to the time and place.
Praja boja paterasya vayam cha pibane charaha karavama priyam nityam tanna paramanugraha.
Lord Krishna said, although forest dwellers, we are also subjects of the Bhoja king. We must gratify his desires, for such behavior will confer upon us the greatest benefit.
Balavayam tulyabalai kridishyamo yato chitam bhaveniyudham mardharmaha sprishen malasabha sadaha.
We are just young boys and should play with those of equal strength. The wrestling match must go on properly so that irreligion does not taint the respectable members of the audience.
Chanura uvacha na balo na kishorastvam balascha balinam baraha lilayevyo hato jena sahasra dvipasattva brit.
Chanura said, you aren't really a child or even a young man, and neither is Balaram the strongest of the strong. After all, you playfully killed an elephant who had the strength of 1,000 other elephants.
Tasmad bhavad yam balibhir yodhavyam nanayo travai mayi vikramavarshneya balena sahamushtikaha.
Therefore, you two should fight powerful wrestlers. There's certainly nothing unfair about that. You, O descendant of Vishnu, can show your prowess against me, and Balaram can fight with Mushtika. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 43rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna Kills the Elephant Kuvalaya Pida. We'll read on. Read on. This is chapter 44, the killing of Kamsa. This is the beginning of Krishna's pastimes in Mathura. Shall we say the continuation?
Shri Shukuru Vacha Evam Charchita Sankalpo Bhagavan Madhusudanaha Asasada Tachanuram Mushtikam Rohini Sutaha.
Sukadeva Goswami said, thus addressed, Lord Krishna made up his mind to accept the challenge. He paired off with Chanura and Lord Balaram with Mushtika.
Now, if we keep in mind that you know, Krishna and Balaram are what about how old? 12? Maybe not even that old. Maybe a little bit bigger than... How old's Aravind? He's about 7. Is that right? He's not a good indication necessarily. A bit too small. But, you know, 12-year-old against Mushtika, Chanura Mushtika. And so, you know, previously, Krishna is making the point, this is not a fair match. This is not a fair match. But because Chanura has argued that, well, you know, you just killed an elephant that's as powerful as 1,000 elephants, and you're not an ordinary individual. So therefore, you should fight with us. And Krishna's accepting the challenge now. Hastabhyam hastayo bhadva padyam meva chapadayo vichak kashatur anyonyam prasaha vijigishaya. Seizing each other's hands, locking legs with each other, the opponents struggled powerfully, eager for victory. So it's a gripping scene. Aratni dve aratni bhyam janab janubhyam choiva januni shira sishno rasorastav anyonyam abhijagnatuhu. They each struck fists against fists, knees against knees, head against head, and chest against chest. So this is, you know, this is violent. Violence. Purport, the word aratni in this verse may indicate the elbow as well as the fist. Thus blows were perhaps also struck with the elbow, a technique seen today in various martial arts. Paribrahmana vikshepa parirambhava patanai utsapana pasar pranais chanyonyam pracharundatam. Each fighter contended with his opponent by dragging him about in circles, shoving and crushing him. What's that wrestling? No, not Sumo. World Championship Wrestling, you know. Because that's just a big act that you can imagine. Shoving and crushing. Throwing him down and running before and behind him. Purport, Srila Sridharswami explains that the word parirambha indicates crushing one's opponents with one's arms.
Uttapanai runai yanais chalanai stapanai rapi parasparam jigishantav apat chakraturatmanaha.
Forcefully lifting and carrying each other, pushing each other away and holding each other down, the fighters hurt even their own bodies in their great eagerness for victory. Purport, Jalajiva Goswami explains, although Krishna and Balaram did not, of course, harm themselves, it appeared that way to Chanura, Mushtika and others of mundane vision. In other words, the lords were fully absorbed in the pastimes of being wrestlers.
Tadbalabalavad yudham sameta sarva yoshitaha uchu parasparam rajan sanukam pavarutasaha.
My dear king, all the women present, considering the match an unfair fight between the strong and the weak, felt extreme anxiety due to compassion. They assembled in groups around the arena and spoke to one another as follows. Mahanayam batar dharma
Esham Raja Sabhasadam Ye Bala Bala Vadyudham Ragyon Dishanti Pasyataha.
The women said, "Alas, what a greatly irreligious act the members of this royal assembly are committing. As the king watches this fight between the strong and the weak, they also want to see it." Purport. The idea the ladies are expressing is that even if the king somehow wanted to see such an unfair match, why should the respectable members of the assembly also desire to see it? These feelings are natural. Even nowadays, if in a public place we find a violent fight going on between a very strong large person and a weaker smaller person, we are aroused to indignation. Compassionate women are especially offended and enraged by such unfair violence.
Yes, we'll continue on. There's a nice purport coming up. Not that this is not nice, but we'll cover this point. Kva vajra sara sarvango malo Shailendra shanibho Kva jati sukumarango Kishoro naptayo vano.
What comparison can there be between these two professional wrestlers with limbs as strong as lightning bolts, and bodies resembling mighty mountains, and these two young immature boys with exceedingly tender limbs?
You know, it's described that Krishna's
his skin is very, very soft. And you know, even if a leaf drops on his arm, then it leaves a mark for some time. So Krishna's, and when Krishna was fighting with the Keshi demon, when he stuck his left, I think it was his left fist, wasn't it?
Yeah,
left arm into the mouth of Keshi, then the residents of Vrindavan were very perturbed and concerned that Krishna's soft limbs, soft arm would be damaged by the teeth of the horse. You know, you don't stick your arm inside the mouth of a horse without expecting to get some damage. Right? So they were really concerned. Of course, there was nothing to be really concerned about. You know, it's described that Krishna is as soft as a rose, but as powerful as a thunderbolt. So, looks can be deceiving, especially in this case. Dhamma vyatikramo yasya samajasya dhruvam bhavet yatra dharma samuddhishten nasteyam tatra kahichit. Religious principles have certainly been violated in this assembly. One should not remain for even a moment in a place where irreligion is flourishing. So they're suggesting, let's leave. Let's get out of here. This is... Who can stay in a place where religious principles are not upheld? Na sabham pravishet pragyaha sabhya dosana nusmaran abruvan vibruvan agyo naraha kyubishamashnute. A wise person should not enter an assembly if he knows the participants there are committing acts of impropriety. And if having entered such an assembly he fails to speak the truth, speaks falsely or pleads ignorance, he will certainly incur sin. Valgata shatruma bhitaha krishnasya vanunam bujam vikshyatam shramavaryuktam
padmakosham ivam budbuhi.
Just see the lotus face of Krishna as he darts around his foe. That face, covered with drops of perspiration brought on by the strenuous fight, resembles a lotus covered with dew.
Kim na pasyata ramasya mokam atamra lochanam mushtikam pratisamarsham hasasam rambasobhitam.
Don't you see the face of Lord Balaram with its eyes copper red from his anger toward Mushtika, and his beauty enhanced by his laughter and his absorption in the fight?
Here's the last verse we'll do today.
This is the residents of Mathura praising the residents of Vrindavan.
Punya bata praja bhuvo yadayam nilinga Kutha Purana Purusho Vana Chitramalyaha Gapalayam Sahabalak Vanayam Shavenum Vikridayam Chatigiritra Rama Chitangrihi.
How pious are the tracts of land in Braj! For there, the primeval personality of Godhead, disguising himself with human traits, wanders about enacting his many pastimes. Adorned with wonderfully variegated forest garlands, he whose feet are worshipped by Lord Shiva and Goddess Rama vibrates his flute as he tends the cows in the company of Balaram. Purport. In this verse, the devoted ladies in the audience point out the difference between Mathura and Vrindavan. They want to indicate that in Vrindavan, Krishna simply enjoys with his girlfriends and boyfriends, whereas here in Mathura, the Lord is subjected to harassment by the bullying tactics of professional wrestlers. Thus the ladies are condemning the city of Mathura because of their pain at seeing Krishna in what they consider an unfair wrestling match. Of course, Mathura is also one of the Lord's eternal abodes, but here the women in the assembly express their love in a critical mood.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapratantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat kripa tamaham bande si gurum dinatarinam.
So, the best of everything should be offered to the king. This is the argument of Chanura. We have heard that you are the greatest fighter. Right? We have heard that you are the greatest fighter. And we know how you've attained or acquired the arts, the art of wrestling, because you're a cowherd boy, and in your daily activities in the forest, you would fight with your friends. Right. Krishna and Balaram, when they would go into the forest, they would spend a lot of time fighting with each other. This is what boys do. They go into the forest and then fight. Play tricks on each other. And generally, just have fun. Merrymaking in the forest. Very pleasurable activities. Spending time in the forest, herding the cows. Of course, you know, herding the cows is not very difficult work, really, when you think about it. Cows are not exactly difficult to look after. You just have to keep an eye on them occasionally. So therefore, that gave Krishna and Balaram and their friends plenty of time to practice their martial arts, amongst other things. You know, actually, it probably could be said that Krishna was able to exercise his martial arts because of all of the demons that would come into Vrindavan, and he would have to kill them. But Chanura is saying, we know you're a great wrestler because you're practiced with your friends in the forest. And because your fame has preceded you, therefore the king has requested that you come and fight with us. Of course, this was all a plan by Kamsa to try and kill Krishna and Balaram. In fact, it probably shouldn't have got to this point, because the whole idea of Kuvalya Pida being at the entrance of Mathura was to destroy them first. But as it turns out, Krishna destroyed the elephant, which was an argument for Chanura. And he said, you're not just an ordinary person, because Krishna said, look, it's not appropriate. We're, you know, just young boys, and you're professional wrestlers. It is not appropriate for us to fight with you. Mismatch. Right? Here. Marya Vyatikrama. This is what the ladies are saying. Vyatikrama means transgression. Dharma Vyatikrama. Means this is a transgression of religious principles. And Krishna's even pointed this out. You don't have to be highly learned to work out that a 12-year-old fighting a 30-year-old, or say thereabouts, is an uneven match. Uneven match. But Chanura said, well, you're not an ordinary person. Because he's not an ordinary person, he's the supreme person. Parama Purusha, the supreme personality of Godhead. So definitely not an ordinary person. Mata parataram nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya. Krishna says, everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Not many people can make that claim. Actually, there's only one person who can make that claim. Yeah. That's what makes him the supreme person. Sutre mani gana eva. Maya protam idam. Is it? Maya protam idam sarvam? Sutram. Sutram. Yeah, thread. Idam protam. Sutre mani gana eva. So, Chanura is correct, actually. You are not an ordinary person. That has been demonstrated by the fact that you just killed an elephant that was as strong as 1,000 elephants. After giving it some thought, Krishna agreed to the fight. Okay. Well, agree to the fight. So then it was on. And here we have a description of that. But this really upset the residents, especially the ladies of Mathura, because due to their soft-hearted natures, they could appreciate this breaking of religious principles. It's interesting here. And they make the point that even if the king desires such a fight, it is irreligious. And as a result, then, even though the king, who's meant to be the leader, right, the king is meant to be the leader. What's that? There's that verse in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. yad yad acharati sreshtas tata devetaro janaha sa yat pramanam kurute lokas tadanuvartate. You know, even if the king desires such a thing, and the king is meant to be offered all respects, right? Leader of the community, leaders within society should be offered respects. It's the duty of the citizens to be respectful to the leaders. Of course, the leader should be respectable, right? This is the problem. This is the problem here. Kangsa is not behaving as a respectable leader should. So the ladies are making this point. Yes, he's the leader, but he's misleading. What kind of a leader will set up an unbalanced fight between a child and an adult? Right? Irreligious. So then there's an interesting point. Yes, we should offer the best to the leader, and we should be respectful to the leader's desires and wishes, so long as he is exhibiting the symptoms of leadership. But if he's not, then, as the ladies of Mathura suggest, we should leave this place. One shouldn't stay in a place where there is no leadership, where religious principles are broken. That wouldn't leave a lot. That leaves us with not very many places to go, actually, unfortunately, in the age of Kali. That means there's not many places where you can go, because there's very few places in the world where actual leadership is demonstrated. Religious principles have been broken everywhere, which is one of the reasons why we have our Society for Krishna Consciousness, is to establish religious principles. So people do have a place where they can reside securely, safely, where they're dharma vyatakrama, where religious principles are not broken, but rather religious principles are practiced, upheld, understood. First of all, there has to be an understanding of the benefits of practicing and following religious principles, and then demonstration of those benefits. So the ladies of Mathura are decrying the behavior of the king. He's not a leader. And neither should the citizens follow such a person. How unfortunate it is that the king desires to see such a fight and also the citizens are following. This upsets them greatly. The citizens shouldn't just accept their leaders blindly. You know, Prabhupada would say, the blind following the blind. And what do we get? The blind following a blind, they all fall in a ditch. Which is a modern society, basically. Modern society, basically in ignorance. It's interesting, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts off with very basic information. You're not the body, you're a spirit soul, you don't die, you take birth after birth. You know, the only reason why Krishna presents this information in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita is just for, you know, for out of courtesy, really, or out of deference to those who may not have heard such information. But in the Vedic tradition, Vedic culture, you know, that information is just accepted by everybody. It's just understood and accepted by everybody. When you're not the body, you're a spirit soul, and you don't die. And you suffer, you know, birth. We take birth again and again and again. Very basic information. But, you know, if you look at modern society, modern philosophy, you know, maybe there is a soul, maybe there isn't, maybe there is God, maybe there isn't, you know, complete, you know, lack of understanding of any kind of basic religious principles. You know, society really is run on, I think, greed, basically. That's what it all. No principles, actually. No spiritual principles, just on sensual satisfaction, sensuality. And you know, you notice, especially if you've been in India for a little while, of course, India is also becoming very much like the West, but perhaps not as bad. And, you know, we went to Prabhu and Radhi's place on Tuesday night. We're driving down Nepean Highway, and there's this billboard that I don't recommend you spend too much time looking at, but it's a picture of a woman with not much clothes on, and it's AustralianShowgirls.com. I said to my wife, I said, what are they selling? She said, sex. That's all it is. I mean, I'm not going to go and check out the website, but it's, you know, it's bizarre. You know, in a society where religious principles are valued and making progress in spiritual life is of prime importance, then displaying naked women all around the place would be considered an irreligious principle. And there'd be an outcry. Huh? People would say, this is not right, this is incorrect. This will just simply disturb society. But people have become so accustomed to being disturbed, they just think it's normal. Yeah, it's okay, it's normal. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression. You know, very dangerous, actually, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. You know, the Vedic kings wouldn't allow such behaviour. Understanding the value of curbing your desires, controlling your sensual and mental and emotional internal and external behaviours so that one can understand one's spiritual identity and detach oneself from the bodily concept of life. But in a modern society there isn't a conception of spirituality, and you know, people just don't have the culture, the understanding. Very difficult situation when you think about it, for the international, for the members of a society, which values the upholding and the establishment of religious principles. Then basically what you've got is, as Prabhupada says, warfare. Right? When one wants to make spiritual advancement, what does Prabhupada say? Practically is a declaration of war against Maya or illusion. So the ladies of Mathura are protesting. We protest. This unmatched fight between a young boy and a man who's much bigger, much stronger, much more experienced, this is wrong. Adhidharma. It is against religious principles. So they said, better not to live in such a place. Better that we should leave. Who wants to watch such a thing? Okay, the king may want to do it, but the citizens shouldn't blindly follow a false leader. Citizens should be educated. So this is a disgrace. The king may want to do such a foolish thing, but why should the citizens follow a foolish leader? Yes, we should follow leaders, but if they're not actual leaders, we should not follow them. We should protest. And in fact, they mention, if one doesn't protest, then one's guilty of complicity. Interesting, right? If there's something, if there's some misbehaviour taking place and we don't do something about it, then we'll be implicated, we'll be complicit, compliant, if you like, with the act, and so therefore we'll also get reactions. Right? This is sort of against Aussie culture. Aussie culture is don't dob anybody in. No dobbers. Right? But here, the residents of Mataura are saying, if you don't protest, if you don't do something about an irreligious act, then you become implicated. Interesting. How, what is it? Asat Sangatyag. The business of a devotee is to give up bad association. Prabhupada mentions in and he refers to, what is it? Sangha Sanjayate Karma. We become influenced by our association. We become influenced by our association. So we have to be very careful. Especially, you know, for the devotees, our natural tendency will be to give up bad association. Right? Asat Sangha. Our natural tendency will be to give up bad association. But our mission is to help others. Right? We're not only interested in our personal salvation. Of course, we are interested in our personal spiritual development. And ordinarily, that would mean Asat Sangha Chag, Evaishnava Chag, we give up bad association. But we're not just concerned about our own spiritual advancement. We're concerned about also the advancement of others, and so therefore the devotees go out of their way to help others. And that means then necessarily having to associate with, you know, people of a lesser quality, if you like. Persons influenced by the lower modes, rajas and tamas. A devotee, generally speaking, although we're not interested in the mode of goodness per se, because even the mode of goodness, Krishna mentions, even those in the mode of goodness can't understand me. Right? The demigods, even the very elevated tapasvis, the personalities who live in the elevated realms of the universe, even those in the mode of goodness may not necessarily understand Krishna. Right? Interestingly enough. But however, the activities of the devotees are seated or have a foundation in the mode of goodness. And so therefore we avoid the modes of passion and ignorance, and we try to live a sattvic, if you like, lifestyle. But actually, devotional service is above even sattvam, goodness. It's Shuddha sattvam. So, the general tendency is to avoid the rajas and the tamas, and to cultivate devotional service in the mode of goodness. And but that creates a conflict when we have to ourselves then associate with those persons who are not sattvic. Ordinarily, they would be, that association would be given up. But the devotees situate themselves in Shuddha Sattva by engaging in the process of devotional service. You know, people don't understand what the perfection of life is. Although there is a pursuit of excellence, right? There is talk of a pursuit of excellence, but who knows what excellence is? What is perfection? What is perfection? Some people think perfection is you know, mastering your to-do list. Right? If I can order the things that I have to do today and get them all done, this is perfection. Right? Or some people think, if I can just be a good parent, right, this is perfection. If I can just provide for my family, give them a house, education, look after them, this is excellence, you know, the pursuit of excellence. But what is excellence? Actually, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we have a definition of excellence or perfection. Actually, the Goswamis redefine the word perfection, because we have, you know, perfect means that's it, you've got it. But we have different levels of perfection. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes how there's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. That's actually a contradiction. So what is perfection? Perfect is, for the devotees, is exemplified by the residence of Dwarka. This is considered to be perfect. But more perfect is the devotional service that is exemplified by the residence of Mathura. Huh? But most perfect is the devotional service exemplified by the residence of Vrindavan. This is perfection for the devotees. You know, we're not looking for perfection in a mundane sense. We're looking for perfection in devotional service. You know, Krishnadas Kaviraj explains how one who has firm faith, Shraddha, firm faith in Krishna consciousness, feels within themselves that there is no greater achievement than working to satisfy Krishna. And that if I work to satisfy Krishna, then automatically everything will be taken care of. If I look after Krishna, then Krishna will automatically fulfill all of my desires. This is considered to be full faith or firm faith. So this is actual perfection. For the devotees, this is perfection. Even this understanding is sometimes lacking even in members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, even within ISKCON. Not all devotees, because sometimes even devotees think that the perfection of life is to get money and put it in the bank, to buy a house, or whatever. Sometimes we see that. But actual perfection for the devotees, as described by the acharyas, as recommended by Krishnadas Kaviraj, is to simply dedicate one's activities to serving Krishna. That may mean also then doing some of these things that materialistic persons do, but because it's done for the pleasure of Krishna, because a devotee reposes their faith in Krishna, then that is considered to be the perfection of achievement. And as emblems of that perfection, the residents of Dwarka are considered to be the perfect example. But more perfect than that is the residents of Mathura. And here we've got the residents of Mathura are offering their prayers. But it's interesting, as is mentioned here in the purport, they're offering their prayers to Krishna. Oh, but how wonderful are the residents of Vrindavan. It's interesting. The boys, the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna, they may oppose Krishna. Okay, Krishna, come on, you're a big man. Come and fight with me. But it's for Krishna's pleasure. And they're lamenting. Look at this. Krishna comes to Mathura, and what does he have to endure? He has to endure the harassment of professional wrestlers. Whereas in Vrindavan, all he has to do is play in the forest with his boyfriends and his girlfriends, and all that Krishna experiences are the loving exchanges between he and his friends. So how fortunate are the residents of Vrindavan? How pious are the tracts of land of Braj? There Krishna, the Supreme Person, as interesting previously, the residents of Mathura are praising Krishna and Balaram. And they're saying, just see how these expansions of Narayan are appearing as the sons of Maharaj Nanda. They're describing Krishna and Balaram as the expansions of Narayan. Actually, it's the other way around. Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. But not everybody understands Krishna's supremacy. Very difficult to understand Krishna's supremacy because he covers his supremacy with this vesha, if you like, of a cowherd boy. Narayan is the source of all of the creation, of all of the universal planetary systems and so forth. He's the source of everything. But yet he appears in this very, very simple form of a cowherd boy. So he's, as I mentioned in the beginning, looks are deceiving. It actually is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in order to relish the friendship and the love and affection of his associates in Vrindavan, he appears without the awe and majesty of the king of Vaikuntha. He appears as a very simple cowherd boy playing with his friends, the residents of Mathura, saying, disguising himself with human traits. You know, human traits means what? Faults. This little cowherd boy, even, you know, it's mentioned, you know, Krishna's sitting there eating with his left hand. Whereas, you know, as the Lord of Vaikuntha, the most powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, supreme, but appearing as a little cowherd boy, sort of like, oh, how can that be the Supreme Person? But still, the residents of Mathura are appreciating just how wonderful the Braja Leela of Krishna is, and how fortunate and how pious the residents and the land of Braja are, and how impious we are. This is their lamentation, if you like. Actually, what is it? The women in the assembly are expressing their love in a critical mood. Right? They have great love and affection, natural love and affection for Krishna and Balaram. But they're criticizing their situation because they're saying, just see, our king, what a rascal. You know, he's happy to see Krishna and Balaram challenged, and they don't like it, harassed. How unfortunate we are, and how fortunate the residents of Vrindavan are, how pious they are, and how impious we are, that we have to tolerate this harassment of Krishna and Balaram. Thus the ladies are condemning the city of Mathura because of their pain at seeing Krishna in what they consider an unfair wrestling match. But as we will hear as the story proceeds, actually this is more of Krishna's just Leela. And as mentioned in the purport, Mathura is also the eternal dham of the Lord. And it is considered to be more perfect. Most perfect is Vrindavan. It's considered better than Mathura, but Mathura, the love and affection that is demonstrated by the residents of Mathura is still one of the perfections of achievement of existence. So we'll read on now. The next few verses are glorification of the residents of Vrindavan by the residents of Mathura. And then Krishna Balaram will get stuck into some more action. And eventually Chanura Mushtika will be finished. And of course this chapter is called The Killing of Kamsa, so not long and Kamsa will be finished as well. I think he's next on the list. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Amongst other tricks. That's just very exciting. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.